Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by United Way. Whether it's helping a single mom in Dundalk keep her home or giving a bright student in Sandtown a chance to be his best, United Way fights for families. Help them win the fight. Visit uwcm.org/fight.
Ole, 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 ole.
From the Baltimore Sun, I'm Dan Rodericks, Sun columnist, and this is Roughly Speaking for March 1st, 2019. If over the last, 30 to 40 years you attended in Baltimore City or one of the surrounding counties, a wedding, bar mitzvah, bull roast, crab feast, New Year's party, or fundraiser of some kind, even way back, a high school or college dance or mixer, there's a pretty good chance the music at that event came from a band called Gazz. G-A-Z-Z-E. I say a pretty good chance with some confidence because Gazz has been around for 47 years. In fact, the band's first gig was February 26th, 1972 at the Hutt Teen Center at Patapsco High School on Wise Avenue in Baltimore County. Now, Gazz has always been a cover band, a big party band with a brass section and a fantastic lead singer and ball of energy named Dwight Ween. So here's the thing. Dwight Weems is still with Gazz, still singing, and the band still performs. It has survived the age of DJs and still operates as a music enterprise, though Weems is the last of the original members. We have had stories in the Sun about the band over the years, and I'm picking up on it now to explore a question. Can a group that played other people's music for more than 40 years come up with its own? Well, Gazz has done it. Recording at long last, an album of original songs recorded in the band's 46th year at Invisible Sound Studio in Building 46 of an old warehouse complex in Baltimore before it closed for good last year. Recently, I met with Dwight Weems and four members of Gazz, the vocalists Shannon Ramsey and Dana Satisky, guitarist Dave Leone, and keyboard man Marty Canelli. We recorded the conversation at a new studio in Hunt Valley and listened to some of the new songs of Gazz's new album called Building 46.
Need a little loving, baby. Need a little loving, and can't get it from you. Need a little loving, baby. Need a little loving, baby. Need a little loving, and can't get it from you.
This podcast is being recorded at Stages Music in Cockeysville.
Music Arts, uh-huh.
Stages Music Arts in a phenomenal studio that I didn't even know existed.
Let's give it up for Stages, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much for making this possible. Uh-huh. Dwight Weems of Gazz.
Hey.
Dwight, nice to see you.
Always a pleasure, Dan.
Let me explain to people who don't have the gift of sight what's going on here right now. We're in a studio with Dwight and members of Gazz, which is a band that's been around since...
Dirt.
Well, yeah. Before the turn of the century, let me put it that way. Actually, how many years...
But we're younger than the Rolling Stones.
Younger than the Rolling Stones. Now, so, Dwight, yeah. How old is Gazz, actually?
Well, you know, we don't give our real age because it might scare people. So what we say is we've been around for over 30 years.
Oh, come on, it's more than that.
Yeah, I know, but that's a
no,
good...
No, keep
that's
it going.
That's a good number that kind of references things.
I'm in the news business.
Okay.
And I got to push
you. You want factual?
I want some facts.
Okay, factual.
Yeah.
We started in 1972.
Wow. That would make you 47, 48, 47 years old.
We're chasing the Rolling Stones.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And so...
For a music business to be around that long, it's an amazing thing.
Okay. So we're going to tell you about Gazz. A lot of people who got married... Who had what bull roasts, different
parties,
events over the years in the Baltimore area?
Yeah.
Will be familiar with Gazz because you're the oldest established, longest serving, longest suffering cover band in Maryland, first. Right? I mean, he's primarily a cover band.
I don't know for the longest. The Admirals, there's been a lot of groups that have been around for a long time in this
Admirals
town.
Was one,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're another great, great big band from back in the day, but okay. We're still kicking.
All right. Before we go any further, why don't you introduce who's with us in the studio here?
Okay. We have several members of the band are here with us today. We don't have the full band with us, but say hello to Dana Satisky, everybody, right here.
Hi,
with our
Dana.
Vocal.
Dana, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Say hello to Marty Cannelli right here.
Marty.
Keyboard player from
Marty.
The amazing Marty.
David Leone over there on the guitar.
David.
Stable Baltimore guy. And other beautiful and lovely. Say hello to Shannon Ramsey, everybody.
Shannon.
Hi.
So there are five of you here.
Yes.
But when you perform these days, there's 12, 13?
Well, we have a full complement is 13. 10 musicians on stage and a 3-person support team.
Wow. And it's always been a pretty big band.
We've always had a big band.
Yeah.
We started back in the days of Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and we started with horns. And we decided that that was the sound that we wanted to keep. And we've been blessed enough to be able to support that as a business and to continue to doing it today.
So, Dwight, you're a founding member.
Yes.
Okay. So, how did it start? How did Gaz get together, and what were your first gigs like?
You know, it's interesting because all musicians will say the same kind of thing. It starts with, you know, and Dave, you can talk about this too, about the fact that you start out as friends, you start out as meeting people, and then you start out as having the same likes or sometimes dislikes in music. And then what you do is you go, hey, do you want to play? And you go, yeah, I'd like to play. You want to play? Yeah. Okay, well, let's get together. And you rehearse like crazy, and you learn and learn and learn and learn. And then someone says, well, you know what? We've been playing in this basement long enough. Let's see if we can get a job
right.
somewhere
right.
and do that. And then you're lucky enough. Sometimes your first gig is your backyard party. You know, it's at somebody's house or something, you know. You drag some pieces of equipment out there, find some power, plug it in. And
you play for hamburgers, right?
Yeah, and you play for hamburgers yeah. and soft drinks. And then from there, depending on if you can take the business side of it and grow it, then you can actually turn it into an actual music business, not just music.
Dave, when did you get to the band?
96. Right. I was filling in for Bob Matarosa, who was taking a leave of absence. And then he decided not to come back, so it's been 22 years now.
So when you jumped in, Gaz was playing, I remember Gaz playing bull roasts, weddings, corporate events, things like that,
We
right?
were doing bar mitzvahs, weddings, then.
Yeah, and in the repertoire, we guys are sort of all over the place. I remember actually being on stage and singing Soul Man with Dwight once. Remember that? I forget what event that was. Something in Harford County years ago.
That's a possibility.
Yeah,
possibility.
That was really fun.
it's interesting because the way that we started and the music that we started with was just having people have fun. And the music that we played and the music that we play today is designed for people to just have a good time. We're not doing a concert. You know, we're there to entertain you. And that's mm-hmm. the thing that we think we still do really, really well.
And would you say most of your jobs have been in Maryland? Have you guys traveled out of state over the years?
We are in 8-9 states. People fly us up to Hyannisport, Massachusetts.
Really?
We've been in New York City. We've played at the Tavern on the Green in New York City. We've played hotels in New York, in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. Virginia. So it kind of goes. We go where the music
yeah.
takes us.
Are you still doing weddings, bar mitzvahs, things like that?
We're still in the private event business. And the private event business is really one of the ways that a group of our size can actually keep it running as a business. Mm. Because the expenses of having, you know, a great talented staff and of musicians and all the back support that we have. You know, we have a 3-person crew that travels around with us. And we have trucks and we have, you know, lots of equipment and backups to the equipment and stuff mm-hmm. like that there. So, that's a place for us that we need to stay, you know, in regards to performing.
Shannon Ramsey, when did you get to the band? How long have you been with Gaz?
My oldest son is 7 years old.
Woo!
So it's been about 7 years.
Yeah?
Yep. Yeah, Dwight.
Were you with another band before that?
Actually, me and Dwight met through a television show I was on called The Next that was with CW. And he saw me on that show and he called me up. And
I
it's been history.
Down.
Well, you heard her sing a song.
I heard her sing a
what
song.
What did she sing? Do you remember?
Well, she sang, well, the one that I heard her sing was, "What doesn't kill you make you stronger."
That's it.
And Dana. Yeah. Dana Satisky.
Yeah.
How long have you been with the band?
Been there for about a year and a half.
What would you say is the song that people, if you looked at all the years, back to the 70s,
right,
the song that's still requested the most?
Ooh, anybody want
to
jump
could
on
you
that?
Pick? Could you pick a song since all those years, some of these oldies that you're playing?
Marty,
that
you got an idea on that one?
I bet you the Soul Man medley and songs like that probably show up on almost every job we've ever done.
Yeah, the 60s stuff. I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
So Dana and Shannon, what do you like to sing? Well, Dana, what do you like to sing with Gaz? Like, when it's time to sing it, you say, is mine. I like this one.
I have a great time singing everything. Yeah. I'm up there, I'm dancing, I'm singing, I'm doing what I love, and I have fun singing everything. I sing some Adele, some Meghan Trainor. We all do a variety. And
how about you, Shannon?
I would piggyback on what Dana said. I'm an entertainer at heart, so I just love when everything works together, when the horns come in, when like every section is just really like individually working collectively. Mm-hmm. And so in most cases, though, I sing like a lot of the soulful stuff. So I'll be singing like the Aretha Franklins, the Etta James songs, but I love a lot of the old school Motown. But I love it when we all, like, the groove is just
together.
Yeah.
Now, the reason we assembled you here, I mean, I think you guys deserve recognition just for being together for so long and still cooking.
Thank you.
But the last couple of years, you spent some time in the studio developing your own music, right?
Yeah.
Recording your own music.
Yeah. As you continue to grow and you continue to change, you constantly have to, I believe, challenge yourself and do some things a little bit differently. So one of the things that we looked at was putting together a collaboration of songs and coming up with a project that we hadn't done as this group. As back in the day, we may have done like one song or something every once in a while, trying to do something. But at this time, the challenge was that how can we put together enough songs and turn it into an actual album, mm-hmm. and have it be reflective of all the talented people that we have in the band today. So this project was an ongoing project for probably what? How many years, guys, realistically?
Well, we tried several times, and you've written other tunes. Mm-hmm. Maybe 5 or 6 years.
Okay. And maybe going back about 9 or 10 years when some of the original song ideas were just starting to get kicked around.
Yeah.
Because the time was our biggest challenge, you know, and one of the songs on the album kind of talks about that, you know. And,
oh, really? Yeah. We should mention that the album is called Building 46.
Building 46.
I'll get to that reason for that title in a minute. It seems to me the challenge would be, because you're playing other people's music all the time,
right?
And that's what people at weddings and bull roasts or whatever want to hear.
Exactly.
To slip in something of your own that people haven't heard before, I don't know if it's risky, but it's like, it's not in demand, right? It's not what people want.
Right.
So I could understand why it would take you time to develop those songs.
Yeah, and another thing too is that it's hard to be original, especially when you've played everything under the sun for X number of years. How do you put all of that aside? I found myself... You know, when we were doing this collaboration on the project, you know, not listening to music. Because every time you listen to a song, you hear a note, you hear a pattern, you go, oh, I like that. I'll take a little piece of that and put it over here take a little bit of that and put it in there.
On the other hand, everything Dwight's come up with has a nice hook. And he's been very original over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always been working at that.
Okay. So we got to listen a little bit.
Yeah.
First of all, Building 46.
Building 46.
Is a building on the grounds of the old Crown, Cork, and Seal complex in southeast Baltimore, in practically Greek town.
Yeah.
And the studio there was called Invisible Sound Studio.
It's no longer there.
Appropriate name, because I think for a lot of non-musicians or even people in the music business today, it was invisible to them. It was an amazing studio.
Right.
I did a story about it. There'll be a link to that story in the notes with this podcast.
Right.
But it was in Building 46.
It was in Building 46.
And that's where you did this recording.
Broken down building.
Yeah.
Gigantic rooms.
Okay. Big old warehouse, right?
I mean, literally a warehouse that had been there since the turn of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. It was an amazing place.
The acoustics, you couldn't duplicate. Some of the walls there were 24 and 28 inches thick of multi-courses of brick.
Mm. You talk about how things change, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the need for a recording studio by musicians, that kind of changed.
The technology can be miniaturized. The one thing that cannot be miniaturized is acoustics. Mm-hmm. And if you're not paying attention to where you're doing things, as well as the how and the who, you end up not being quite where you need to be. Oh.
As one who records podcasts in different places around Baltimore,
oh boy,
very happy to be here in stages.
My condolences. Yeah.
So now go back to that song you were referring to that deals with time.
Yeah.
The idea of time. Which song is that? Yeah, we'll listen to a little bit.
It's the last cut on the album, and it's called "Wasting Time," and it talks about everyone gets the same amount of time to do whatever they want to do with it. You get 24 hours a day.
Uh huh.
And what you do with it that day is entirely up to you. And sometimes if you really want to get something done, you're going to have to focus on getting that thing done and make that a top priority for you. Otherwise, it may never get done. And you will end up wasting time doing things that really aren't as important to you as you want them to be at the time. And the older you get, the more important time becomes.
If I had more time, then you would find I'd do all the things that we said that we would do all day and night. If I could rewind some moments in time, I'd relive all the happy memories we've shared in our lives. I'm telling you that time is not on your side. I'm telling you that time will push you.
So, Wasting Time from the Gaz album, Building 46. Gaz has been together, a band in Baltimore, for 47 years, and the album is Building 46, and you finally did your own album.
Look at this.
Yeah.
This is from It's from 1991.
Hand me that. Oh, my God. Dwight just handed me a copy of the old Baltimore Evening Sun, which is where I started my career at the Sun. And this is the accent section, which was our style section. So this is a 1990. So this was 20 years in.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
And there's my friend Kevin Cowherd's column over here. And here's an article about James Galway performing with the Baltimore Symphony. Right. And you know what you were saying about music and how you hear so much music so you don't know how to write original. So it's hard to write original music because you hear so much.
Exactly. Right?
Like I was listening to a Beethoven piece, a piano concerto. And there's a section in it that's right out of West Side Story.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, go back.
Muscle memory.
What was that? Bernstein, who was a student of Beethoven, a scholar. Right. And if you hear it, it's right out of the song somewhere.
And you know what? Yeah. And sometimes you don't even know you're doing it sometimes. You know, because the reality is that there's only so many notes, they're just all rearranged.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
This is an article from 2004 in the Today section of the Morning Sun. Nice spread on Gaz performing at weddings. And there's a nice picture of Dwight there. And, you know, the author of this, the reporter on that, was Rob Hyacin.
Yeah.
Who we lost in the shooting last year in Annapolis.
Right.
He went and worked for the Capitol after leaving the Sun.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Shannon, do you have a favorite song off this album?
I do. I actually lead more of the bluesy song on the album. It's called A Real Man. a real good man, and it's a really good soulful blues song, and I had so much fun with it because of where I got to place the vocals as far as my register. I got to really sing it in my lower chest register. And
how expecting were you at the time you came in to do the ending track?
I was 8-9 months. Actually, I was due. I was, and that, and you know what? And when you hear the song, vocally, put the sauce on top of it. I'd like to say, because I was slightly congested.
Sweet man, shows me good loving all the time. Got me a true man, and he always lets me know that he's mine.
I'm glad you finished recording that before the baby came. Although, it could have been exciting if all that happened while you were in the studio.
Yeah.
Dana, do you have a song off this Building 46 you like?
Yeah. You know, I'm featured on a few of them. I like Looking for a Man. It's similar but different. It's kind of fun. It's got a little twang to it, but it's definitely a relatable song for any single lady out there, or someone looking for a man.
I don't like being alone, waiting by the phone, just hoping for a good time. I want me a man to love, so I'll keep praying to the heavens up above. So I'm looking for a man to hide.
How many tracks are there on it?
It's 11. It's 46 11. Minutes worth of music.
Wow. 46 minutes on Building 46.
Yeah, exactly.
By the 47-year-old jazz band.
Coincidence.
All right.
What a coincidence.
Dave, do you have one you like?
Right.
I like Time, and I also like I Love You, which is sort of like country flavor.
The smell of your perfume makes me crazy. When I look in your eyes, it makes me smile. When you walk by, my body starts to shake. And I'll do anything to be with you a while. 'Cause baby, I love you for all of the things that you say.
Well, there's more to hear. How is that available, by the way? Folks hearing the podcast want to hear Building 46.
It is available. It's interesting because we had this conversation. We're going, how do people consume music mainly these days? I mean, there's no CD players in cars anymore. There's no CD players. A lot of people don't even have stereos anymore like we used to have back in the day. So we said we have to
I'm still using cassettes.
Yeah. No, I still got the answer.
I got a whole pile of cassette tapes someplace.
You have something to play
them on? Player.
Yeah, but it's also someplace that I lost track of where all these things are. But anyway, so how do you listen to Building 46?
So you can listen to it any way that you consume music these days. If you like Spotify, it's available there. If you like Apple Music, it's available there. If you like it on iTunes, it's available there. Deezer. So you can, cdbaby.com, you can go there and look up Gaz Building 46. You can research it there. I'm going to hold this up for
you. All right. Yeah. I had one more question, though.
Yeah.
So I remember you guys used to play in public venues sometimes, like a Bull Roast or a Crab Feast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I used to love to go to the Crab Feast where Gaz was playing. Right. So do you do anything like that anymore for, you know?
I tell you what the challenge is. in the level of playing that we that we're doing, it's hard for us to work that into the mold of what we do as a business. Mm-hmm. Now, if we wanted to do it just for fun and just do it, then fine, we could do anything we want that way. But as far as making it a business and keeping it as a business and paying all the bills and everything else that goes inside it and compensating the talent of these wonderful people, you know, because the when you look at it, when we started, there were many different team venues centers for you to play, where you had the ability to actually utilize your craft and play. And as you got better, you moved into better venues and better venues and better venues. Well, when the DJ craze came in, mm-hmm. and the business people looked at that and went, I could pay a DJ $50 and I don't have to pay a band, I don't know, back in the day, $300, $500, whatever, then they took that route. And it squeezed out a lot of places for people to play. The full-time musicians these days really have to be, unless they have an act that's really taken off, you know, you have the ability sometimes to be in four or five different bands, just trying to do one night, from place to place, in order to be all lucrative right for you to do.
I've consumed all of what you said, and I understand it.
Got it.
Now I put on my promoter hat,
yep,
and I would say, hang on for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah,
and then put a call out to anybody who hired Gaz for anything, starting including weddings.
In fact, smart.
Tell the women to come in their wedding dresses. Go to Pier 6 Pavilion. I mean, do a concert. And sort of like, you know, I don't know how we'd bill it, but it'd be something like, listen, I said we. Did you
right
hear that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A special guest.
You know, do like a reunion concert, but right, you put a call out to, hey, if we performed at your wedding, come and hear us at Pier 6 or something right like that.
Yeah.
You like that idea,
I think it's
Dana?
A great idea.
Look at Dana.
Sounds fun. Pier 6.
Right.
Hey. Well, listen, thank you very much. Congratulations on getting this far and getting the album out.
Thanks to Dwight Weems and Gaz and to Stages Music Arts in Cockeysville for recording today's show. I'm Dan Rodericks at the Baltimore Sun for my trusted and skilled producers, Steve Early and Hallie Miller. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking and for supporting the Baltimore Sun.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
So sexy, sweet like apple pie. Give me love like rapid fire. Touch me and I'll petrify. I'll petrify. Watch you move. The reason why I made this groove. Touch you cause your silk is smooth. You ain't got a thing to prove.